So the goal of the letter is to try and destroy Newton-Raphson method inside an optimization framework. Okay? In December, you have the last lectures with Professor Bevilacqua, and he talked to you about Newton-Raphson method for finding, for solving non-linear system of equations. So roughly you have a function f from Rn to Rn, which will give you the n equation in n unknown variables, and you look for the zeros of this function. This zero is a vector of n components, all components to be zero. Okay? In the end, you came up with a method, so I'm doing some summary. Okay? You came up with a method which was done this way. If by J f of x we indicate the Jacobian matrix of f at the given point x, so the matrix whose elements are the partial derivatives with respect to all variables of the components of capital F. The method read somehow this way. It's an iterative method. The new iterate is obtained from the previous, moving away with unitary steps along this direction, which is the inverse minus the inverse of the Jacobian at the current point times f computed at the current point. Okay? This, in the end, was the heart of the method. You did it in a more general fashion, and then, in the end, the concrete method was done this way. And somehow you got this result, they state the following. Let's suppose f is twice continuously differentiable, meaning that each component of f, if fi is such, this is f of x is given by f1 of x, x2, f2 of x, and so on, fn of x. Okay, so each of these fi is twice continually differentiable. Consider x star in Rn a solution of the system. So f of x star is the zero vector. Then what you have with Professor Bevilacqua is the following. If the Jacobian matrix of f at x zero, at x star, sorry, is an invertible matrix, okay, then there exists some radius delta such that if you choose any starting point at zero in a ball of center x star and radius delta, we have the following. the sequence xk goes to x star. So the algorithms, the Newton-Raphson algorithm, converge to the solution, to the given solution. And moreover, we have some information on the rate of convergence. The distance of xk plus 1 from x star is less or equal than n times the square of the square distance between xk and x star. Okay? For some suitable positive constants. Okay? This is what you have. So here on the left, we have the summary of what you've been seeing. Okay? Just one simple remark about this function on the Jacobian matrix. Since we are supposing that derivatives are continuous, then the Jacobian matrix is continuous, the determinant is a continuous function, so the fact that this function is invertible is, means exactly that its determinant is non-zero. So by continuity, it is non-zero in a whole neighborhood of the point. Okay? So invertible in a point actually guarantees that it is invertible in a neighborhood of the point. Okay. Our goal today, our goal is to exploit this to solve unconstrained optimization problems. I think Professor Bevilacqua already gave you some hints. So, we are back to minimizing a function f, small f, over the full space. So, f from Rn to R, and we want to minimize it on the full space. What we did up to now is we know that a necessary condition for a point x star to be a minimum of the function is that it is a stationary point, that the gradient is at the point is the zero vector. Okay? All algorithms we've done up to now compute stationary points. When you do the gradient method, the conjugate gradient methods, and so on, we are able to get stationary points. Okay? Which we know are also minima if the function is convex. Otherwise, the condition is just necessary. But so we learned that the way to build algorithm is to look for stationary points. And what is this? This is nothing but a system of equations. Okay? The gradient is a vector in Rn, whose components are the partial derivative with respect to x1, the partial derivative with respect to x2, and so on. Okay? So we have x in Rn, and its gradient is a vector in Rn. So we can consider the gradient as a function that at each point f in Rn associates the gradient of f at that point. So this is a function from Rn to Rn. And we are looking for its zeros. Okay? We are exactly in this framework. Okay? So,
I could simply say, okay, apply Newton Raphson method, taking capital F to be the gradient of F. I could end the lecture, okay, and say you nothing more. Newton-Raphson method is useful in optimization because stationarity is given by a system of n equations in n unknown variables. Full stop. Okay? That's the heart of it. And when you apply Newton-Raphson method in optimization, generally the name of Raphson disappears. Okay? You generally, when you look in textbooks, you find just the name of Newton. Okay? So I could simply say, okay, we're done. Well, this is a particular function. What about its Jacobian? Okay, the Jacobian is given. You take a function, you take one of these components, and you take all the partial derivatives with respect to all variables. Here, each component is already a derivative, and you take the derivative of this with respect to x1, with respect to x2, with respect to xn, and so on. You are taking second order derivatives. And so, in this matrix, what you have are all possible second order derivatives in the form that we have called the Hessian matrix. So when you take the Jacobian of a gradient mapping, what you get is the Hessian matrix. So, if we want to rewrite the method getting rid of the capital F and its Jacobian, we simply exploit this property. And so what we are left with? Okay, let's rewrite it once again. It's nothing but that one. Xk plus 1 will be xk minus, so we have now the Jacobian, which is the Hessian. The Hessian of small f at xk inverse times capital F. Capital F is the gradient. So the gradient of F as xk. So we translate that this language into our optimization language. Okay? So the method is simply done this way. Okay, couple of remarks which are interesting. Well, we used to build methods which were done this way. I was moving away from a current point along a direction dk with step tk. What am I doing here? Okay, if this is dk, the step is unitary, and I fall once again in this framework. Okay? We use this, which generally this was minus the gradient, or it was some direction whose scalar product with the gradient was negative. It's called the same direction. Okay? Here we have this direction, which is the gradient multiplied by a matrix. Okay? We take the gradient and then we manipulate it with this matrix.
But still we are in this framework. So the question is,
if this still is the same method, so we know, we guarantee that this is, if this property is true, then if the step is chosen in a suitable way, the value of f at x k plus 1 is less than the value at f k. F at x k. Okay? So, the question is this true in this framework?
Well,
you simply apply, what do you get? When you do this, you get minus the gradient from fold the inverse of the Cartesian matrix times the gradient. Is this quantity negative or equivalently, is this quantity positive? This is surely true if this matrix is tau. Vector times matrix times the same vector. This is always positive if the matrix is positive definite. Okay? So this is surely negative if the Cartesian matrix, sorry, the inverse of the Cartesian matrix is positive definite. Okay, since positive definite means that all the, again, the matrix is symmetric, we know, so the eigenvalues are real numbers. And positive definite means that the eigenvalues are all positive. Okay? The eigenvalues of the inverse of the matrix are the reciprocal, one over the values of the don't switch sign. So this is positive definite if and only if this is positive definite. Okay? Just some linear algebra. When you have a matrix, it is positive definite if and only if its inverse is positive definite. It's the exact same thing because this means eigenvalues are positive and the eigenvalue, if this is an eigenvalue of the matrix, this is an eigenvalue. If these are the eigenvalues of the matrix, the eigenvalues of the inverse are done this way. So it preserves the sign. Okay, what does it mean that the Hessian of a matrix at the point of, which is generic, so at any point is positive definite. It means that the function is tau. It means, if you remember first semester, that the function is strictly convex. Okay? So, if small f is strictly convex, then the Newton method is a descent method. Otherwise, you don't know. Okay? Because you have no guarantee that this is negative. If a function is strictly positive, is strictly, sorry, convex, the minimum, if it is Drizzt, is unique. Okay, one of the properties we saw in the very first lectures. Well, I want to rewrite this convergence theorem in our terminology. So, the theorem says capital F is twice continuously differentiable. But our capital F are already derivatives, so
if you take the derivative twice of a derivative, you get third order derivative. So this in our language we read
this will read small f is continuously differentiable three times. Okay? Here you replace this, you say, suppose we have a stationary point, okay? Then this Jacobian becomes the Hessian at the point. And here the assumption is invertible. Okay? But, okay, we are not happy with invertible, because invertible could be also positive, it means that the determinant is non-zero. The zero is not an eigenvalue, but the eigenvalues could be all positive, the eigenvalues could all both be negative, or a bit of both. Okay? But we would like the same method. So, we can, for instance, strengthen the hypothesis this way. If this is positive definite, then its eigenvalues are all positive, the determinant is non-zero. Okay? So we can strengthen the assumption. The assumption we can make a bit stronger. If this is positive definite, then this is also invertible, and we have exactly the same result. I don't have to change anything else. Okay? We have convergence. Notice that the assumptions I made, stationary point such that at the point the Hessian metric is positive definite, guarantee that the point is a minimum, is a local minimum. Sorry, is a local minimum point. This is one theorem we saw when we did optimality condition. Okay? At a minimum, the Hessian must be positive semi-definite. But if the Hessian is positive definite, then you are guaranteed that the point is a minimum. And it is a unique one, locally. So, in this assumption we have also existence of the uniqueness of the solution. Well, still remember that I can apply the Newton-Raphson theorem also if this is simply invertible. Okay? So, if this is not necessarily true, in that case, the method will not be a descent method, but it still will converge. Okay? Why did I change the assumption, putting a stronger assumption? Because if we simply apply the method with the initial assumptions of Newton-Raphson, we simply get a stationary point, which could be also local maximum or neither a local minimum nor a local maximum. Okay? So, but it converts all the same. The only thing that matters is that this is invertible. Okay? And I will show you an example where we go to local maximum or points which are neither maximum nor minimum. Okay? Let me see. Did I tell you? Oh, no, there is also one thing. Okay. Arguing as before, by continuity, if this is positive semi-definite in this point, by continuity, it is positive definite in a neighborhood. Okay? So this guarantees that this function is positive definite for all x which are close enough to our solution. At points at which the Hessian matrix is positive definite, the direction is the same direction. Okay? But we have convergence. Okay? The sequence is going to the to X star. So sooner or later we'll enter this area, this neighborhood. And so at most after some a number of iterations, this matrix in the algorithm will be positive definite. So in the end we will end up with the same direction. So if this is the assumption, in the first iteration the method may be not a descent method, but in the end it finally becomes a descent method from a certain point onwards. It is definitely a descent method. Maybe some iterations are not, but then it becomes so. Okay? Let's see. Okay.
Oh, and I have another interesting remark. It's about this. This method has this property. We are dealing with a step size which is always unitary. Okay. We always move. The move we make along the direction is always unitary. Step size is always one. Okay. Which was not what we had in gradient methods. We had to do some kind of exact or inexact search to find the suitable step size. Okay? Here is given. You don't need to compute it. Okay? And the method is also good because we have this nice property. Okay? Which is telling us something about convergence. Okay, the rate of convergence looks pretty good. Okay. Take an iteration, afterwards you have the decrease of this factor here. Well, it looks so nice that you should always use this method. There are a couple of drawbacks. First one lies in the theorem. Starting point has to be close enough to the solution. Okay? This theorem says that if your starting point is close enough to the solution, to the minimum point in our case, well, it converges. So somehow it requires some good guess on what the solution is. Okay? Because if you start too far from the solution, the method may not converge. Okay? Because converge is guaranteed on the neighborhood of the minimum point. So this is a local convergence. Which is a situation we did not face in gradient methods, okay? In those gradient methods with the line searches, okay? I never cared about the starting point. I was always telling you, under this set of assumptions, the limit point is a stationary point, okay? Doesn't matter where you start from. Here, the starting point is relevant, okay? And I'll show you examples. Where you don't know the solution, you start from a point and it doesn't go well. Okay? So Newton method is a local method. Second thing, which say is more computational, is that here to compute this direction, okay, somehow you need to compute second order derivatives and compute the inverse of the matrix. Okay? But let's not care too much about taking the inverse. Computing second order derivatives is instantly. Okay? So, it's not that easy in general, numerically. It takes time. It's computationally expensive. Well, there are some techniques I will not show you, because they are a bit complex, which says,
okay, please, do not compute exactly the Hessian matrix. Exploit the gradients of the two previous iterations and the previous iterations to compute an estimate of this. Okay?
So there are formulas based only on first order derivatives which give an approximation of the Hessian. Okay? So, and this gives rise to a family of methods which are called Quasi-Newton methods. Okay? Where Quasi stands exactly for this thing. I'm not taking Hessian, I'm taking something else which should be somehow a good approximation of it, but much less expensive to compute. Okay? And then actually you could teach me also something else. Okay, I need to find this direction decay, but if I rewrite it, actually, I could write this in this way. I would like to find a vector d solving this linear system. Okay? This is the unique solution of this linear system. Okay? I simply take the inverse and multiply both members for the inverse of the matrix. Okay? So, computing the Newton direction can be done this way, it is this thing, but can be done solving a linear system. And you don't necessarily need to take the inverse of this matrix to solve the linear system. Okay? So, this somehow lightens the burden of taking the inverse. You can think of the direction as the solution of this linear system. Okay? Still, you need second order derivatives. Okay? Okay. You have any questions?
I've done nothing but re-elaborate what you already have seen about Newton-Raphson method in this case, okay, and put it in our optimization, minimization framework. There's another way to come up with Newton methods, which is independent,
apparently independent from solving a linear system of, by solving, sorry, a non-linear system of equations. Okay?
Well,
think about this.
When we write f at x plus d, if we take Taylor expansion of first order, we can
approximate if the norm of d is a very small vector, its norm is very small,
in this way.
Okay? This is first order Taylor formula. What we did when we designed the original gradient method is, okay, let's minimize this as a function of d. But d is a linear function, so this goes to minus infinity, but I can keep unitary directions. Okay? And what we saw is that if we want to, this is the current point, so it's fixed. If we want to minimize this, taking unitary direction, the direction we get is minus the gradient divided by its norm. Okay? We did it. Okay? So somehow, you are confusing your function with the first order approximation around the current point. Okay? But we also have second order approximations. Okay? We have, you could also write down this. This is given by second order Taylor formula. If the norm of d is very small, you can confuse your function of x plus d with this function of d, where x is fixed. Okay? Value of the function at x, gradient scalar d, and, sorry, this is the Hessian matrix, times d times the Hessian matrix times d. Okay? This is second order.
Taylor's formula.
Okay, which sort of function, so x is fixed, is our current iterator, xk generally, okay? I simply did not put the k here. I want to minimize this as a function of d, okay? Which kind of function is this one? These are first order terms, and these are second order terms, okay? This is a vector in Rn. Okay, so this is a first order term, second order term. This is a quadratic function. Okay, so indeed, second order Taylor's formula, if you remember, gives you a quadratic approximation of the function. So this is a quadratic function, and we learned a lot about quadratic functions. We spent a lot of time on quadratic functions. Whenever we were making some example, we were taking quadratic functions, okay? And we know also one thing, if the Hessian matrix is positive definite, or even less, positive semi-definite, how's the quadratic function? Which property does it have? So, if the matrix is positive semi-definite, since when you take the Hessian of this function as a function of d, you get exactly this matrix. If this is positive semi-definite, the function is convex. Okay? So that minima are exactly the solutions are exactly the stationary points, okay? So, let's think of this as a function of d, given x, okay? And you take the gradient. When you take the gradient, of this term, you get the gradient of x. Okay? These are linear terms. These are quadratic terms. What you get is 2 times 1 half the radius. This. Okay? Remember, here when we did it, in general, here we had the b, and here we had the matrix q. Okay? And we said that the gradient was qd plus d, okay? Which is exactly this one. So, what is this equal zero? This is equal zero is exactly this system here, okay? You see? It's enough to bring this on the other side.
These are the stationary, the solution of this system, of Newton's system, are exactly the stationary point of this quadratic function, which is an approximation of f around a given point. Okay? So what we are actually doing, making a Newton step, so moving from this point to this point, is that actually we are going to this point, and we are actually minimizing this approximation in the case in which this is positive semi-definite, in case in which it's convex. Okay? So at each iteration, Newton's method replaces the function with its quadratic approximation given by Taylor's formula and minimizes that one. Okay. So it's roughly that original gradient method exploits first order Taylor approximation. Newton method exploits second order approximation. Okay. If this function is negative semi-definite, then this is a concave function, and when you compute the stationary point, actually you are computing the maximum of this function. Okay? So it depends on how this matrix is done. So there's the standard one of the standard questions for exams is the following: how does Newton's methods behave on quadratic functions? Okay? And you can give the smart answer. The smart answer is exactly the following. Well, at each iteration, Newton methods solves the quadratic approximation of the function around the point. But if the function is already quadratic, the approximation is the function itself. Okay, you can make the computation. On my notes, you have the silly computation. It's two free lines of silly algebraic computation. But what you get is that if you take Taylor's second order approximation of a quadratic function, you get the function. Okay. So the smart answer is, since it Newton method solves the quadratic approximation, it actually means that if the function is quadratic, it solves, it minimizes the function itself, so one iteration is what is needed. Okay, so the smart answer is this. Since Newton's method at each iteration solves the quadratic approximation of the point around, of the function around the point, since if the function is quadratic, you minimize the function in one iteration. Okay. There's also the less smart answer, which is making the computation. Okay. You can take a quadratic function, which is done this way. You compute its gradient, which you know is this one. You compute its station matrix, which now is this one, and you apply this with k equal 1. X1 is equal to x0 minus, and you substitute, okay? And what you get is, and what you get as the first iteration is that x1 is q minus q1b, which is the unique solution of this system. Okay? So this answer is fine. You show directly that Newton methods converge in one iteration. The smartest answer is to say this thing. Since it minimizes at each iteration the quadratic approximation, when you apply it to a quadratic function, it solves it in a unique iteration. Is Newton method good for minimizing quadratic function? Actually not, because what you are doing is exactly inverting this matrix. Okay? The step requires that you take the inverse of this matrix, which is solving this linear system. So you are just back to the original, most straightforward of solving it. Okay? So it's not useful for devising good method for quadratic function. But if the function is not quadratic, dealing with quadratic function is easier, generally. So you should learn this from the course. Dealing with quadratic function is easier, so it's better to solve a sequence of quadratic problems rather than the original problem itself. Okay? So I think we can take 5 minutes break if you don't have any question or curiosity or something. And then I'll show you some examples on the computer which show these things probably better than theory. Okay?